Welcome into the Irish NFL show. We are 2 weeks away from arguably one of the biggest nights of the NFL calendar, the NFL draft. A household name is returning now. He's been on quite so many times now. He's now a household name. Chris Pizzignano from the Giants Insider. No one beats the biz, even on this side of the Atlantic. Chris, great to have you back on board.
Thanks for the introduction, man. Yeah. Nobody beats the biz on the other side of the pond, huh?
No, absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be on again, bro. I love you guys, man. Yeah, it's a great time. Obviously, a very busy time of year, right? The NFL, there's really no offseason anymore in the NFL, right? Maybe it's that middle of June after the mini camp to the training camp. That's about it. But, man, it never really slows down, even after the Super Bowl. It's amazing. Right? And here we are. Can you believe, dude, seriously, can you believe it? Under 2 weeks away from the draft, 2 weeks away from it's incredible, man. It really is.
Yeah, and by the time this podcast goes out Friday morning, it will be under 2 weeks to the draft. And I had an NFL fan say to me recently, why don't they not just do the draft at the start of April? And I was saying, you've got to look at it from the NFL's point of view. They don't want to wrap everything in so quickly with your free agency mid-March, then you get a draft. You also have to give these coaches time to evaluate players, go to combines, pro days, everything. It makes it more exciting. It kind of whets the appetite for the draft coming the end of April. You've got a few weeks then to digest what's happened before you get the schedule.
Yeah,
everyone takes time. Really, when we hit June, July, obviously that's really kind of the down period. But yeah, great excitement for many a fan. I always feel like the draft is a fresh start for every team. Every team has hopes, expectations for the new season.
Absolutely.
Excitement of bringing in a player. And everyone can look ahead. And even the Chiefs, picking at 32, they're probably already looking ahead. The last Super Bowl win is in the rear window.
I've heard Andy Reid say, okay, it's like 48 hours after winning the Super Bowl, you're already planning for the 2024 season. It's amazing, And like you said, the Chiefs are sitting there, all right, we're at 32, but, we're going to look at this kid. If he's on the board, we're going to go with this guy. This planning's good. The draft boards are kind of getting finalized now. Right? We're 2 weeks away. And like you said at the beginning, people want to know why it's not being, there's so much in the process. Don't forget, you get 30 visits too, right? This is spread out over time. These kids are visiting all these teams. You need this time, right? And now you got to put your draft board together, which is kind of like getting finalized now in the Giants building, And then they'll tinker with it up until the draft. They'll tinker a little bit here and there, going up to draft night. So it's a long process, putting these kids together on your draft board for 32 teams. And it takes a while because, you're going to pro days, you're going to combine, they're coming in your building, you're having private workouts, you're going to their school. It's a lot, man. It's a lot of stuff. And we're going to get answers in a few weeks, right, about what these teams have been thinking. And the Giants have obviously, Bri, is one fascinating team because so many people want to know what the hell they're going to do, right? I mean, are they going to try to move up? What quarterbacks do they like? Is JJ their guy? Is Drake their guy? We'll get the answers in a few weeks, but they're a team that's going to be very interesting to watch because I think we all know they would like to get a quarterback in this draft. Whether or not they get their guy, it's going to depend. It's going to start from draft pick two on. What does Washington do? Does Washington go with Jaden Daniels, Bri, which we all kind of think they're going to do? Or do they throw a total monkey wrench in the plans of everybody and go with, say, a Drake May, right? So it's going to be fascinating to watch. We don't know the answers yet. We could all guess. I know a lot of people think they know the answers, but they don't. Okay, we're going to find out in a few weeks.
Yeah, and I'm actually not convinced. I know we read all the reports that the Commanders are tied to Jaden Daniels. I don't think it's a slam dunk, as people may seem. I still think they're very much kind of looking at the Drake May situation. It's funny you say that. When we had Peter King, obviously, over recently for our live show, and we had an evening out with Peter the night before, and I said, Peter spoke with the Giants. Obviously, he has connections from the Giants, having reported on them for a number of years. And I said, I know you're out again now, Peter. What's your thoughts on six? And he goes, genuinely, he goes, you can't legislate for what's going to happen ahead of the Giants. You can have a team come up forward, the Cardinals, if they're not set on taking Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers are very much in that position where they can potentially move out. Joe Shane can have all the best intentions and the best plans in the world. We cannot legislate, even for someone like the Patriots. Arguably, there's been suggestions this week they could be military. It's a crapshoot in many ways. You just have to hope when you get to six, or when air position comes, the player in which we want is Darren. That's not a given either.
Yeah, Brian. And look, the bottom line is this: that we just don't know how these guys have these kids graded out. We don't know how Shane has these kids graded out. Now, you could assume a little bit because, look, they visited with JJ. They had three different visits with JJ, right? The combine, workout. Same thing with Drake. So you could look at that and say, okay, well, they're obviously very interested in these two. Maybe Jaden only had the one combine with Jaden, I believe it was. Maybe I think the one building visit. But I think they kind of figured Jaden's going to be off the board. He's going to go to Washington. And then you have to work from there. You know, what's New England going to do? Who does New England have graded out? Does New England have Drake May graded in a mid-round? I don't know. You don't know. You don't know how these teams have graded these guys out. That's the beauty of the draft. But what you have to do, and I don't have to tell Shane this. He obviously he knows. Everybody knows. But you have to be ready to pull a trigger. Right? They've talked with teams about trades. What's it going to take, and all that stuff. And you have to be ready to go because if somebody's there still that you have graded a top three or top five grade, a quarterback, you have to be ready to make a move because we all know the Vikings are going to be very, very aggressive in this draft. There's no question about it. They have the capital to do it. So,
yeah, it's funny. And before I even just come to our pick, you're talking about evaluation of players. A Falcons fan said to me today, what's the point in them bringing in Michael Penix for a full evaluation, bearing in mind they just, you know, signed a massive contract with Kirk Cousins? I said, because from the Falcons' perspective, they're going to evaluate what they believe is a suitable selection of picks for him. Should someone decide at 12, like the Broncos, sorry, at 13 or the Raiders, let's get up and get Michael Penix. They need to be ready for that conversation to see, you want Penix? You give us your second round, third round, etc. And the full evaluation. That's the reason why all these teams.
Brian, absolutely. That's the reason. You have to be ready, all right? Because so many things are going to could play out. The first 10 picks, 12 picks, you have to be ready to roll. And all these GMs are going back and forth, right? You know, they're all swapping back and forth. What's it going to take here? What's it going to take here? You know, you don't wait to draft night and then make a phone call, to a Patriots GM and all that. Okay, what's it going to take? No, you have to be ready to roll before this. You only have 10 minutes, right? I mean, so these guys are ready with these draft scenarios. Who might drop? What's going to be a surprise? Who's going to move up? Who's going to drop back? It's going to be amazing. Look, speaking of quarterbacks, well, you know, to me, let's get your feeling on this too, because you've been studying this for a while yourself. To me, it's four locks quarterbacks are going in the first round. And that's right now, as we speak, I have JJ, you know, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and obviously Caleb. Those are the locks that are going in the first round. And then you're going to throw in the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix. Are they going to go in the first round? I put a tweet out last night. I said, gun to my head, I think they are. I think six go. I think five pretty much for sure are going to go in the first round. I think it's a very good chance for six. I think Penix is a kid that is going to get drafted in the first round.
Yeah, I look at Penix's coverage of the semifinal game in championship versus Texas, 430 yards, two touchdowns. People argue he can't do it, and he hasn't got the presence in the pocket times. He's got the aspiration to go and be a fourth. He's done it. He's done it in a big game. Okay, he may not play as well as that championship game against Michigan, but there's going to be GMs that will home in on that game and say he did it in such a substantial way in that game. We can get that even for certain, and he gets comfortable with air offense. We can get the best out of him. His vertical passing and long pass ability is fantastic. Got to give him. It's about the pocket presence. And ultimately, that comes down to, have you got a good offensive line around him? Where does he go? Because sometimes, we talk about it time and time again, Patrick Mahomes is not Patrick Mahomes if he ends up in Chicago that year. Sometimes it's very fortunate around what team you end up. Brock Purdy has landed in a nice situation. If Penix goes to a team with a good offensive line, I believe he can, I wouldn't say he can be a day one starter, but we see it over the course of time. 6 or 7 weeks into a season, right? A team pulls it out, right? It's time to bring him in.
Brian, absolutely. Look, I've been saying this about Bo Nix, okay? I said this is a kid, if he gets drafted in the right system. To me, Sean Payton is that right system, man. I look at that Sean Payton and I say, man, he is made. Bo Nix is made for him, okay? So like you said, hey, look, I'll give you a guy, okay? And you might think I'm crazy, but I'll give you a guy. If he didn't get drafted in the right system, who knows what would have happened? Joe Montana. What, Chris? He's the greatest. Might be the greatest. Well, if Joe Montana is not in that Bill Walsh West Coast system back in the day, we don't quite know what would happen to Joe. Because we all remember Joe. He didn't have the strongest arm. Was he smart and accurate? Yeah. But he was made. The point I'm making is he was made for that system, you know, and that's important. Like you just said, you know, you drafted, like, the rate, like, you're going to draft a Michael Penix. Well, you better have a little spread out offense, right? And let Michael do his thing, because Michael can wing it. Okay. He can wing it. Bo Nix, maybe a little different. We saw what he did at Oregon, getting a lot of those bubble screens, getting rid of the ball quick. Not that he can't throw it downfield, but he's type of that, in that type of system where he can be more effective. So when you draft these kids, you know, you better have the right system, or you better adjust your system to what they could do. And that's why I look at, you know, I look at Penix, I see the Raiders out, you know, bro, yeah. I look at them and go, man, I mean, you know what the Raiders always love to do over the years, right? Let's wing it all over the damn lot. Going back to Cliff Branch days, you know, let's wing it all over the damn lot. They got Devonta. I look at them and I said, man, will they pass him up if he's there? You know, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Devonta, perfect corner receiver for the inside slot routes, right? Quick ball out. He's coming across the same, takes it on 25, 30 yard production pass. It does make sense.
And I got to be honest with you, bro. You know what kills me? I know a lot of people put this out about Penix, about, oh, I don't know about his pocket prep. Have you watched him? You know, he's been sacked, I think, once out of every 80 dropbacks or something like that. And yeah, I know he's got the line, a lot of, but dude, you're not getting sacked once every 80 dropbacks unless you have a pretty good sense to get the hell out of there when it's pressure. And we've seen that with him. We've seen his savviness in the pocket, eluding defenders and stuff like that. Now, I know it's at the NFL level and all that, but I don't like that when they say about Penix, about, because I watch him, I was like, what are we watching here? Look at this kid get out of the pocket. You know, look at him get out of the way of a defender, step up or go to the left or go to the right. You know, so look, him and Bo Nix are going to be fascinating to see where he wind up. You know, and who knows, man? Does New England shock everybody and say, you know what? We love this Penix. We're going to go with him at three. I don't know. We'll see.
That's the thing, like every draft is always going to be, it's amazing when you come out of draft and you get these, oh, we give them an A+ and we give them a B+. So if they draft it badly, nobody really knows. But Penix could go, Lamar Jackson went 32 in the first round.
How'd he work?
I agree. How did that work out? Really funny. Josh Allen, I read a report the other day. He was, a local beat writer put up, the wrong Josh was chosen in that particular draft. He suggested they should have drafted Josh Rosen. Here we are with Josh Allen, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league. May not be next year, you know, things seem to be changing a little bit in Buffalo. They need to do more sports and more run-oriented offense. But on the Joe Brady, but like, yeah, Josh Allen, what a quarterback. I just want to bring you back in. Here's one interesting one. I don't know if you're aware of this. Maybe this is me showing I'm too focused on draft. 25th of April, 2019. 25th of April, 2024. Giants pick sixth. Giants pick sixth again. It's like same date. And here we are 5 years later, and we're, you know, you were talking about potential quarterback. And you just spoke about it on the podcast very well. I don't see a scenario, unless it's Penix or Nix, where we do find a quarterback at six. We're going to have the outcry that we had back in 2019 with Daniel. So then six. There'll be no walking bridges or anything. But do you see any scenario where, if it's a JJ, for example, that people are kind of saying, because again, back to the point, 3 months ago, people were suggesting JJ McCarthy mid fourth round to the back end. Now all of a sudden you shot up the boards. But I don't get that sense. You spoke about it very well. He's come from a winning system, a winning offense. He's just won the championship. I mean, in his own right, in another year, he could arguably be the top pick in the draft.
Oh, absolutely. And no, if, like, City trade up for, or they just stay at six and JJ falls to them at six, you know, there's not going to be that outrage that we've seen with Daniel. No question about it. I know, look, there's people out there that they're not JJ fans, but there's a lot of people that are. There's a lot of people out hoping the Giants draft this kid. So, I mean, back in 2019, it wasn't many people saying, boy, I hope the Giants draft Daniel Jones from Duke. You know what I mean? I mean, it just wasn't. I'm sorry. You know, when that happened, you know, that surprised a lot of people. This will not surprise people, Brian, no question. And, of course, there's always going to be people like, oh, well, I don't know about him. He only threw the ball 20 times a game. You know, he was a system court, you know, all that stuff. You'll have that. Of course, you see it on Twitter now. You know, you have that. No, it's not going to be that surprise. I think if the Giants wind up J.J. McCarthy, I think the majority of the Giants fans are going to be pretty happy with that selection.
Yeah. My concern, and I think it's a concern for a lot of fans, and he's right, you called it out on your coverage. In isolation, I would argue we need more of a wide receiver need than a quarterback. And that's a bit, someone says, why do you think that? Because we've done such a strong piece in the draft, in free agency around trying to revitalize and retool this offensive line, and we brought some good players in. Some, I would say, journeymen, but within their own rights, we'll do it. Obviously, there's two lock-ins, I can't pronounce the Raiders guy, to the former London.
Illuminor.
And running, obviously, their production players are easy to come in and start. But there is some other players that have been brought in for versatility. And you'd argue we bring in a quarterback in the draft and he, for whatever reason, beats out Daniel, or Daniel isn't ready on the inside. You know what? He'd been so impressed when we can't be going from day one. We don't have an abundance of wide receivers for him to go. Don't show the ball to. Is the bigger need wide receiver, if you take away all the quarterbacks from the Giants over the course of the last 3 years, is it a Malik Nabers? If Marvin Harrison was to drop to six, would we all walk away from that and be quietly happy and quite confident that we can see a productive, you know, wide receiver and, I suppose, quarterback to wide receiver play come September?
So if the Giants draft a receiver, would you come away happy? Yeah. Like that? I think, yeah. Oh, without question. Look, we haven't had an explosive receiver since Odell. Right, we really have. And now you have another LSU kid that's going to be out there that's explosive like Odell. You know, that's Malik Nabers is the most explosive wide receiver in this draft. Right? There's no question about it. Now, I'm not saying is the best. You know, I still have Marvin graded out higher than him, but Malik is the most explosive receiver in this draft, and that's something the Giants haven't had. I love Rome and Dunze too.
Yeah.
Okay. To me, you can't go wrong with either kid. But I think Arizona would be insane to pass up on Marvin Harrison. Okay, I think he's that good. I think he's a generational talent. Don't let the pro days and don't let this other stuff distract it from what he is. And that's an unbelievable talent. Okay, now I know people, scouts and GMs have Malik. Some guys, you know, the word's out there, they have some guys have Malik even graded higher than Marvin. That's fine, you know. But you can't go wrong with either one. If he's there at six and the Giants go receiver, he's a guy that they haven't had in a long time. And that's an explosive receiver you could throw on the X, on the outside. And he's going to make life so much easier for guys like Wandell Robinson, even Darius and Darren Waller, if he decides he wants to play football, which we don't know, which is getting that really ridiculous point.
Yeah.
Darren Waller, I'm sorry. You know, now he's coming out yesterday or a couple of days ago. He met somebody from The Athletic. Oh, I don't know, maybe June. I have the June 12th. Like, come on, Darren, give me a break. The draft's coming up. You know what I mean? Make up your damn mind. Okay, so I think that's getting absurd. But I don't want to get off subject. Malik Nabers is a guy. His dynamic talent, explosive. So is Rome. Can't go wrong, bud. You can't. If Marvin's off the board, you can't go wrong with either one. Me personally, bro, I think the Giants are leaning towards Malik more than Rome. I do feel that. Because of that explosiveness, and that's something they haven't had.
Is either one of the three that you would say gives us the best opportunity to take the top off defense in terms of that opportunity to get the ball deep down the field? I know Marvin overall, of course, is going to be better where he's able to do stuff, but to give us that real vertical threat down the field, it's Malik Nabers.
Without question. Not as more than receiving, as we all know, than just running a nine route or running a deep eight or eight route, the deep put. I get that. But he is the most explosive down the field, no question. Brian, you know, I've mentioned this on the podcast, and I mentioned this for the last few weeks, you know, watching Malik Nabers at LSU, and then watching, you know, around April 1st, I really started diving into these kids, you know, all 22 and all that stuff. And watching Malik, and so many times, man, you know, God, they're playing off man on him, 10 yards off, man. And he's blown by him, like they're not even there. I know it's college level, don't get me wrong, I get it. But I'm saying, like, man, it's so impressive. Yeah, so, to me, down the field threat, most explosive threat, you know, you look at that, right, Brian, you say, man, say Malik Nabers becomes a Giant, man, you got two guys, him and Jalen Hyatt, right, that could really stretch the field. Something they haven't had, man, you know? No question, he's the most explosive down the field. Most polished? Marvin. Most explosive down the field? Malik.
I'm going to throw one at you there, and I know we're speculating. I genuinely don't think it's something that will come to pass either, but I know you and Jay have spoken about it very well, and would you take the opportunity, would you take the offer? If the Vikings were to look to go six, and they were offering the Giants the 11 and the 23, a lot of Giants fans would say, absolutely. And in fact, I even read a report this morning, it wouldn't just be 11, 23, there's a suggestion even an 8-round pick being thrown in there, but ultimately your big players are 11 and 23. And this kind of ties into Darren Waller, because I was going there with the next question to you. Someone said, well, at 11, the Giants can do what they want in the sense of you could take a Brock Bowers tight end and then you could go offensive line at 23, densely, or a cornerback. You could reevaluate. You may not get your wide receiver at 11 because they're all gone off the board, but you could still get a really effective tight end, a young tight end, 11 in Blackburn. I don't think so. Like, I think the Jets at 10 will probably go there with him. That allows you to go after this line of 23. But the Darren Waller conversation ultimately falls into this, which is why I think you're not doing a disservice and saying he needs to kind of make a decision, because it's unfair of Joe Shane going into a draft that he doesn't know his situation. If he's sitting there at 11, for example, Brock Bowers dropping, he's kind of going, I don't need to do this because I got a really effective Darren Waller coming back, only for one to retire. It kind of leaves the Giants in a precarious situation there. So it's just interesting. Again, it's in the dynamic to what he needs to do on the draft.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. If they do move back like that, yeah. I mean, Brock Bowers is a phenomenal talent. He's a phenomenal talent. And look, even if Darren Waller decides, yeah, I'll be back. Okay, well, how much is his heart into it? I mean, come on, you know. What are you going to back for, bro? One more year? I mean, you know, so you have to think along the lines of that, too. So, yeah, I obviously get that at 11 with Bowers. I mean, I could see that happening. But to me personally, these three wide receivers are so dynamic, and this is something the Giants haven't had. I think the Giants would be crazy to draft. But I get it, Bri. I get it why they would do it. Me personally, I don't pass up on one of these kids. I don't. Okay, now I'm not saying even at 11 you could get a real good receiver. And you could, you know, like a Brian Thomas will still be out there, probably, you know. But man, to me, it's like, how do you pass up at a kid like Malik Neighbors or Rome? And who knows what's going to happen this year? Maybe even a Marvin Harrison. You don't know what happens. What if Arizona trades out? What if the Chargers trade out? Or if the Chargers go offensive line, they don't go Marvin, right? He could still possibly fall into the Giants' lap. I don't give it a good chance, but it could happen. So to me, they need this guy for so long, okay, a receiver like this. I think they'd be crazy to trade back and pass up on one of these guys.
I also read something this morning where if the Giants were to trade out with the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy was the selection, he obviously, in all likelihood, may start over Sam Darnold. He has a really fruitful first year in the league. The comparisons are going to come back to Joe Shane. You had an opportunity to take him. You drafted out.
Absolutely.
It just adds more pressure. I just wanted to actually kind of, we've kind of jumped the draft. We never really spoke about free agency. And I mentioned the number of offensive line guys there, which you said the two will start. Like, Stinney's come in, Slotman, Nelson, all kind of guys in their own right that can be versatile. And we need a lot of help on the offensive line. And I wonder, like, is Daniel Jones last year really worthy of review? Because he played so little. Now, I know we did a podcast with certain games, frustration on the sideline, particularly the Seattle game, Monday Night Football, where he doesn't read it. He doesn't read the, you know, he doesn't read it right. Where the spirit hits and returns it for a touchdown. But if the wide receiver comes in and this offensive line can be put together, is it against the Rams possibly that Daniel Jones comes back and has another productive season? I'm just conscious of, like, where do we find ourselves in 12 months' time when ultimately that's when the decision will be made to move on from because of the contract limitations. If he comes back and finds a way to play really well with a new wide receiver, an offensive line that's been revamped, are we find ourselves back here 12 months' time still asking the question, is he the right man to lead the team up?
Well, I tell you what, you know, if this kid, if they could hold this kid up and they get him a receiver on the outside, and then you got, you know, Hyde in year two, and then, of course, Wandell and Darius, why can't he play well? Why can't he? I mean, have we really given up and that no matter what team you put out there in front of him, he's going to stink? I mean, are you kidding me? You know? I mean, I know the numbers were off the charts, but he did play well in 2022, especially the second half of the year in the playoff, right? So I'm not going to say, yeah, well, he's going to be horrible and all that stuff, you know, even with these guys, even with a better offensive line, even with a better receiving group. No, I think he could play well, no question about it, you know? And then we might be, like you said, a year from now, saying, okay, where are we at with Daniel? You know, but look, the Giants, they're going to try to get a quarterback, okay? They're going to try to get a quarterback, and we'll see what happens. If it doesn't, you got Daniel next year, and then you'll have to worry about that in 2025. But it's not like they're looking at it and saying, well, you know what, with a better offensive line, better receivers, we have total faith in Daniel, and we don't need to draft a quarterback. No, they're trying to draft. And between he didn't play that well last year when he did play, and the injury factor where he could take one more shot to that neck, right? And that's it for Daniel. I hate to say it, you never know, right? It could happen. Combine those factors and, you know, you want to get a quarterback in here, you know. So they'll try to do it. We'll see if it happens.
John Murray, obviously, recent interview at the owners meeting said, I'm comfortable with him selecting a quarterback. I kind of got to sell some that it's he just genuinely doesn't believe the quarterback would be there for him at six. So it's easy for him to say that now because, you know, the likelihood is the main forward will be gone, and then obviously it's a shame. But where other years we've kind of felt he's still tied into Daniel. Is it him just kind of optics saying the right thing to kind of please the fan base? And also, if a quarterback is selected, he runs with, like I'll say time and time again, he's 100% baiting Joe Shane to make the right calls.
Oh, absolutely. And he also said if they move up, they move up. I'm behind it. Because if they have to trade up to try to get that guy, I'm behind it. And that's a fact, bro. That is a fact. Does John love Daniel? Absolutely loves him. But is he going to let Joe Shane and Brian Daboll do what they have to do, what they feel is best for the organization and this football team? Absolutely he's going to do that. There is nothing that I'm telling you now. I don't care what. I know people don't want to believe this, but don't believe for one second John Mara is going to sit in the draft room and say, guys, we're not moving up. Daniel's my guy. Go wide receiver. That's the way I want it done, and I'm the owner of this team. That isn't happening. That's not happening, and it doesn't happen. He's behind them, okay? John Mara's stance is this. If Joe wants to move up, if Joe drafts one at six, I'm behind it, okay? If Joe doesn't want to move up, if Joe doesn't want to draft a quarterback at six, I'm behind it. I'm leaving it to you guys. You're the football guys. I'm leaving it to you guys, okay? And that's the way it's going to be. So John came out and said that. It wasn't some bull crap statement, John saying it just to, you know, stroke the fans and stuff like that. No, that's what he believes in, you know, that. He also believes in Daniel, and you could criticize John for that, and fans will, and what are you, crazy? Daniel stinks. Okay, you have your opinion, but he does believe in Daniel still. Okay, he does, but he's going to let Joe make the decision what, you know, what's best for this organization.
Devin Singletary, I'm just going to move a little bit to free agency. I'm conscious that we're a month removed in a way, so it kind of feels like all news, but I'm just conscious of Saquon Barkley, obviously, it was inevitable in the end. He's going to go, not necessarily to where he went, but I think it's going to sting a lot of fans come start of the season. I've seen on the social media page today, he's excited about the fact that, I don't know if you're aware of the news, breaking news that the Packers are going to play the Eagles in Brazil, and obviously he's going to be a part of that big occasion and a Friday night game for everybody, which is, in fairness, it's great for fans, Thursday night, Friday night, right. Sunday, Monday, we get our fair share of games on opening weekend. Devin Singletary in his own way had a really good season last year. Mm-hmm. You still see a scenario that Gray hasn't really worked out. In my opinion, it hasn't worked out more so because of his blocking ability. He's not, you know, it's a risk of bringing him in there. Doesn't seem to pick up blitzes, etc. But will he get an opportunity next year? Or do you think it's not against the realms of possibility that we go again looking for a running back in the later rounds, maybe the 2nd round or 4th round? We spoke about it last time, and looking at Chiefs, the 7-year-old pick, playing in a second Super Bowl in a row. The value is there in the draft, no matter what round you take.
Oh, absolutely. I think if a kid is there, is valued, in, you know, when they put, say, in the 4th round, excuse me, and they have a running back valued that high, they'll draft one. I do believe that. Yeah, there's no question they might bring in another running back, you know, and put him with Devin, and Eric Gray's going to be back. Eric Gray's got talent. You know, he's got to polish up some stuff, no question about it. And like, you know, like you just said, Brian, you know, if you can't pass pro in this league, picking up blitzes, or you're getting wiped out in pass pro, and your quarterback's getting hit, you're not going to be on the field much, okay? Especially on third down, and that's a fact. I mean, even Saquon has struggled a lot of times in pass pro. Yeah. You know, it's not his forte, Saquon. He's gotten better at it, but it's not his forte, okay? With Devin, you look at Devin, he's pretty good in pass pro. He puts his helmet in the guy's chest, and he's willing to throw it in there. So, but yeah, will they draft a running back that they have valued at that position? Yeah, I don't think there's any question they would bring one in. No, you know, and you could, like, you know, I mean, history has taught us in this league now in the last five to ten years, you could get a guy in the mid rounds, boy, or later rounds that's going to really contribute to your team. So I could see that happening with the Giants, no question.
And we're going to close out just a quick one around Brian Bourne's trade again, another massive deal in free agency. And I think, in the day that was in it when Saquon had just moved on to the Eagles, and a lot of Giants fans have been reaching out this side of the world saying, how are you feeling? And I said, look, this is a patience game. There's no point in getting panicked on the open day of free agency. You've got to let it play out. Devin Singletary comes in. And I did call out, bear in mind, Devin Singletary, once he worked with Brian David in Buffalo, he was also drafted as part of the team with Joe Shane involved in. So he knows the guy pretty well. The numbers are getting there. So we could be really productive. His numbers last year for Texans, albeit they were a good team, went to playoffs, very similar to Saquon's. Like, he has an opportunity to really cement himself as a number one. But the Brian Bourne deal is a huge factor, because that if we're in a situation next year where it's Daniel Jones or a new quarterback, I kind of see the Giants as a team that we win games because of our defense next year, as opposed to Tennessee offense, even if we do get that wide receiver at six. So we're going to be, and we've obviously got Bone coming in, a very different feel about the defense. Are you seeing a different scenario, completely different reset around the defense structure? He obviously has a very different mindset to win. But Brian Burns is a huge addition. He, like, you look at the contract in which Josh Allen got today with the Jags. It's very similar. Especially, I think you're right, called it out. There's a very little difference. And that's kind of the level he's at. Josh Allen's a real productive player with the Jags. Brian Burns is in a difficult situation, Carolina. He's got a great opportunity there to kind of prove his worth again going in here. And with him and Thibodeau on the other side, we could be going back to the Giants of old school, which are Tuck and OC and having three or four different players that can go after the quarterback. Like, it will be exciting to watch next year if you're a defensive type of fan.
Yeah, because you're going to see a different scheme. You're not going to see the blitzing like you saw with Wink the last 2 years. You're not going to see those zero blitzes and all that stuff going on, because Shane doesn't really believe in that. I mean, not that he doesn't send that fifth guy in the blitz and all that stuff, but he believes in that four-man rush, and that's one of the reasons why they wanted to go out and get a Brian Burns, because, you know, you want to get those guys that fit your new coordinator schemes, and he's one of those guys. And like you said, bro, you know, I know a lot of people give up on Aziz because he's always hurt. I get it. I get it. You know, he's been hurt the last few years, and people that they, you know, fans are like, oh, I don't want to hear about him anymore, Chris. Every time I mention Chris, I don't want to hear about him, and I get it. But here's the fact. The fact is that when Aziz is healthy, he's a very good pass rusher. He gets to the quarterback. And look at the stats. You know, I mean, I'm not pulling this out of you know what. Look at the stats when he plays. So you have a package now, you know, where you could put an Aziz, Tibbs, Dex, and, of course, Brian Burns together. And that's a pretty good four-man pass package. That's a pretty good. You know, you could. So that's the thing, you know, about Shane Bowen. He wants to get the pressure with that four-man look, you know, and he wants to drop those seven and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be a different look for the Giants. I don't know if it's going to be better, but one thing I really like about Shane Bowen is that he was a number one red zone defense last year with Tennessee. They kept teams out of the end zone. I look for things like that. Wink was very good 2 years ago in that. Wink, to his credit, really Wink was last year not
as many a game.
Yeah, last year not as good, but Shane Bowen, not a lot of talent. They had a couple good plays in Tennessee, and pretty decent. You know, Jeffrey Sims, obviously, is a dynamic defensive tackle, but not a lot of talent, especially on the back end, okay? And they were number one in red zone defense. I like things like that, you know? And now you're going to come over here, and he's going to implement his scheme. I think I found it interesting they brought Isaiah Simmons back. I think they could do a lot of different things with Isaiah, and that's why they brought him back. What happened is Shane Bowen, you know, Joe went to Shane Bowen and Dave said, listen, we're thinking about bringing this guy back. How are you going to fit him in? Does he fit into your scheme, Shane? And Shane sat down with us. Listen, we're going to do this. We're going to do this, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And they brought him back for another deal, and they feel they could do some things with him, you know, in his scheme.
So it makes a lot of sense from the financial aspect. I mean, the deal is, you know, it's not off the charts.
And yeah, absolutely, Brian. You got to remember something. Shane likes that three safety look. He likes that three safety look. Okay, and guess what? Isaiah has that safety. You know, he could play that safety/hybrid role. And I think you're going to see a lot of that, you know, with Bowen with Isaiah next year. So they didn't re-sign him without going to Shane and saying, how does he fit into your scheme? You know, and he does. He does. And obviously Shane gave the green light on what they're going to want to do with him. I do believe, Brian, that three safety look was probably the main reason why they brought Isaiah back. So he's that hybrid linebacker/, you know, safety role, and you're going to see that next year.
A quick one, Walter Thomas safety, and I'm going to close out now. Jalen Mills has been brought in, and he obviously didn't have as a productive a time with the Patriots as he had with the Eagles. You see that? Is that a squad type of player that he's going to just be utilized here and there, or do you have to see him? Like, Bobby McCain came in from Commanders last year and didn't expect much out of him. He had a, you know, bad season, but he did some good things. Are we going to see a scenario where Mills has an opportunity to kind of resurrect his career? Do you think it's kind of fallen off slightly with the Patriots?
Yeah, I think he'll have a chance in camp because he's basically a safety now. You know, I think he'll have...
But once we're talking about potential three-man safety, you know, it allows for, you know,
Yeah, I think, look, I think obviously Jason Pinnock's locked in a one, and then they're going to have to see about the other spot. I think he'll have his chance, but, you know, you got to look at Jalen. He's at the tail end of his career. His snaps were reduced with Belichick last year a lot. That kind of shows me something right there. But look, he'll have his opportunity. I'm not going to sit here and say, Brian, he's making a 53 for sure. I don't know. I don't know if he's making a 53 by the end of, beginning of September. That I don't know. But he's going to get it in and he'll compete for that safety role and maybe even slot role a little bit and all that stuff. I think his outside cornerback days are over. Okay. Don't forget, with the Eagles, he was a corner, not a safety. He transitioned over to safety over the years. I was not crazy the way he looked last year, but he's going to get a new chance here with the Giants, and he'll compete for that spot, and we'll see what happens.
I certainly didn't think we'd be closing out the podcast talking about Jalen Mills. 2 weeks away from the draft, Chris, you're always very generous with your time and coming on.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And as always, I'll be reaching out, looking to get you back on very soon after the draft.
Thank you.
You can react to whatever deals go through. Chris, as always, so generous. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you, bro. You know, I love you guys. I love the work you guys do. And it's a pleasure to be back on.